It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, the 24th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It's Christmas Eve, and a lot of people might, at least for some part of the day, have the chance to take their shoes off, put their slippers on, and watch some good old television. As we head into 2015, though, the definition of television is changing. The old cable bundle is fraying, with more a la carte options from companies like HBO, big-budget shows produced by Netflix, and a growing number of non-traditional devices. At the same time, mergers of big cable companies promise to reduce the number of our options when it comes to service providers. So let's get a preview of TV next year with New York Times tech columnist Molly Wood. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Ben.
The future of television, there's a bunch of stuff happening. I'm really excited about HBO Go that I no longer have to steal from my friend Kelly.
I think we're all excited about not having to steal that from your friend Kelly anymore.
But this is going to be an interesting year for how TV is evolving.
It is very interesting, and it includes the hardware even, but some of these things that have really been the pillars of cable television mm-hmm. are starting to creep out into the wild, go their own way. HBO is finally available to some people as a standalone subscription, and it's something that you can get on a Roku so that you could have it as part of an internet-only television.
There's some interesting things happening in the policy space too, right? And they might happen in a big way in 2015.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in 2015, I think that some of the conversations over net neutrality are going to start to get very serious, and those will absolutely include video delivery, and they'll get a lot more heated if and when, and in fact, it sounds like it's approved, Comcast and Time Warner Cable merge, because then you will have one entity that blankets quite a lot of the United States in terms of television delivery and internet delivery.
So in some ways, 2015 has good and bad news for the user, right? It's got good news for the user who's interested in a la carte television and new ways of watching that television via software and hardware, but complicated news for the user as they deal with their cable company customer service agents?
Yeah, you know, I think the short version of 2015 is that you're going to have a lot more options when it comes to how you get your television. Those options are not going to be cheaper. And they're not going to be cheaper because a la carte, you know, no one ever promised that a la carte would be cheaper than cable. And it might be that as you cobble together a bunch of different services, you find yourself paying close to what you were paying for cable, or you find that maybe the price of your broadband internet goes up because not as many people are paying for cable. So I think for most people, cutting the cord is still going to save them money, but the cost of that service is certainly not going to go down, if only because there won't be the competition to force it down.
Our friend and New York Times technology columnist Molly Wood. Molly, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Speaking of things on screens, following criticism from many, including the White House, Sony Pictures has, after all, allowed the film The Interview to be released in a limited number of theaters on Christmas Day. The studios had pulled the comedy about assassinating Kim Jong-un after threats from hackers who U.S. officials think are working for North Korea. The Plaza Atlanta in Georgia and the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema chain based in Texas both said via Twitter they plan to screen the movie on Christmas Day. Will you try and go see it? Would you if it was playing at a theater near you? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Brock Johnson. And while we're on this tack, internet service in the country of North Korea has been, shall we say, pretty spotty. And it's not about power cycling a router or two. Still unclear what or who has been to blame for the outages. But you know what else is unclear? The origins of the Sony hack that had the U.S. pointing the finger at North Korea and threatening a, quote, proportional response. China, which delivers the isolated country's main connection to the broader internet, now says there's no proof that North Korea was responsible for the Sony hack. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that couldn't have happened without the support from listeners like you. So please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at Marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. All this week, we're listening to some of our favorite interviews from the year. I talked some months back to Guy Kawasaki, you know, the dude who's famous for evangelizing Apple's computers and bringing them to the masses. Considering that history, you might be surprised by his current tech tastes. But the day after the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 18,000 points for the first time and the NASDAQ slipped, it's interesting to hear Kawasaki's thoughts on one of 2014's biggest bugaboos, the anticipated tech bubble. Here's our interview from my visit to Austin, Texas. Guy, thank you so much for joining us.
I would say it's an honor and a privilege.
You have helped bring some of Apple's best products to the masses. We're in a really interesting time for marketing because there are companies from outside the U.S. that really want a foothold, for instance, in the smartphone market, right, that are having trouble because it's just taken up by Samsung, I guess, and Apple.
The iPhone model is innovate, coolness, all that kind of stuff. The Samsung model is throw billions of dollars against the wall and, you know, you can get in there. Not a lot of companies have the wherewithal financially to do the Samsung model, and not a lot of companies have the good taste to do the Apple model. At one level, it's almost a fork in the road. You either believe in iOS or you believe in Android, and I happen to believe in Android.
Why?
I think Android is a superior phone operating system. I read a lot of books, and the concept that on an iOS device, you use Safari to go buy the book, and then you boot Kindle app to go read the book, I can't wrap my mind around that. Now, that's an example where Apple made a decision not for the betterment of the customer experience. They did that to sell more books. I don't know. That's just short-sighted to me.
One more question. Yeah. Are we in a tech bubble?
Probably.
You don't sound that worried about it.
If somebody really thought about it, I don't think anybody's sitting around saying, God, I sure hope that valuations don't go up. Right. The problem with the previous tech bubble was that there was this body of thought that said that trees can grow to the sky. Well, come to find out, they were wrong. I hope it's a fantastic, the biggest bubble in the history of mankind. Now you just need to be smart enough and have a good enough memory to get the hell out.
Guy Kawasaki, thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, we're done for now. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.